Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Let's go to the Hobson and Hobson newsmaker line. Paul Feinbaum joins us right now. And I wonder, Paul, what we're going to talk about.
The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. You know, it's amazing. it is toward the end of May. We're a week before Memorial Day. This is not a time when the two heavyweights in the college football world end up fighting like two kids after school behind the old schoolyard. But what we've seen in the last nearly 48 hours is absolutely unprecedented.
Can I use the word enjoyable? Am I okay if I use the word enjoyable? This is what I'm going to be honest. I want to see what the market correction is going to be, but I want to play it out for me publicly.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes when you talk about this as much as I do, you take it too seriously. You forget how much everyone's really enjoying this fight. It is great Shakespearean drama, but in some way it's also comical. However, it has brought much-needed adrenaline to college football, which has been mostly off the field and bureaucratic conversation. So, yeah, from that standpoint, and the best part about this, guys, is a week from Tuesday. Mark your calendars because these two guys are going to meet again on May 31st. They will be in the same room. And what's interesting about that is I was talking to a friend of Jimbo Fisher's yesterday, and I said, you know, they'll be together at the SEC spring meeting. He said it's a good thing they weren't together today because it would have gotten physical.
So they always take that picture together, the coaches. Do you think Saban and Jimbo will be in that picture this year?
It will be a grim picture. And I'm not casting aspersions against any state. You know that because I'm from Tennessee. I'm talking to people in Georgia. But don't forget, these are two good old boys from West Virginia scrapping here. This is not unusual in that state.
Hey, Paul, before you came on, I was talking about why I don't mind this and why I do find it entertaining. Why are we in such a rush to get a market correction about how to handle NIL this quickly? Whether it's the housing market, time in memoriam, let's start a war, let's stay in a war. There are things that you can manipulate, and if something is going to fold onto itself, it will if you don't market correct it at some point. But why is everybody looking for this magic bullet answer like we need it today, or else college football is just going to disintegrate before our eyes?
Well, you're right, and let's be honest here. The person who is speaking the loudest is Nick Saban, and why does he want a correction? Because he no longer controls it. And that's what this is really about. Jimbo Fisher doesn't care. He's happy. Oil prices are at an all-time high, which what does that mean? That means his alumni base is rolling in money, and that money is being funneled. And guys, you've heard what's going on right now. This Jordan Addison, who just signed with USC yesterday, that was a high-dollar amount. Don't think it wasn't. And old-school coaches, and Saban is 70, he has to be considered among the oldest of the old school. He doesn't like paying players that. It's legal as long as you make sure the paperwork is correct. And, you know, because if let's say theoretically he signed Jordan Addison for $3 million, he loses control. He had an issue last year with one of his wide receivers that never went away. You kept seeing it pop up. Saban kept saying, we disciplined him. The guy didn't care. And that's the new normal in college football. College football has always been borderline NFL, and now it really is, except the prices are a little bit lower.
Yeah, Paul Feinbaum with us on the Hobson & Hobson newsmaker line. Do you agree with Deion Sanders? That was Nick Saban sending a message to his boosters.
Yeah, I do. And I can speak authoritatively on very few subjects, but I can speak on that. 3 weeks ago, I was in Birmingham speaking to their biggest booster club. And afterwards, a bunch of us went out, and I got the impression from them that they were tired. They were fatigued. They're supporting so many different aspects of the University of Alabama. And I know people are going to laugh when I say, well, Alabama doesn't have as deep a pockets as other schools, but they don't. It's not a rich state. And you're talking about, you know, these collectives are giving players maybe $20,000, but for the high priced transfer portal giants like Addison and others, we're talking millions. And some of those guys are charging that on the front end. So Alabama came up short last year, and Saban also decided we're not going to do that. Well, he still had the number two recruiting class in the country, but Jimbo Fisher had the best recruiting class in history. I mean, he had something like 7 5-star defensive linemen. That can take you a long way. Just ask Kirby Smart about last year's team.
What kind of huzzah? Because Jimbo could have gone one of two ways. He really could have gone the way of looking at Nick Saban and telling everybody, old man screaming at clouds. He could have created a generation gap. But it's not that Saban's that much older than him. But he could have created a generation gap and lauded the idea that old man over there just doesn't understand what's going on with you kids and use it as recruiting. But I think he ultimately went with what he went with because the huzzah in the room of the money people, if he walked in a room with Texas A&M boosters, aren't they carrying him around on a chair like it's a ceremony?
And guys, don't forget, let's go back a year ago. A year ago, Jimbo was speaking at the Houston Touchdown Club, and someone asked him, when are you going to beat Nick Saban? Can you beat Nick Saban before he retired? And he said, I'm going to whip his ass this year. And he backed it up. I mean, they love Jimbo. He had a miserable season, by the way. Let's not lose sight of that. He went 8-4. He lost to Arkansas. He lost to Mississippi State.
LSU.
LSU, you're right. And he would have lost a bowl game to Wake Forest, except suddenly Texas A&M didn't have enough players. They didn't cancel that game on the day of the game like UCLA, which, okay, you say, what can you do? COVID number. They canceled it like 10 days out. I mean, it's like canceling a frequent flyer ticket on Delta Airlines. Yeah, I better do it 10 days out so I get my money back. Nobody cancels a bowl game 10 days out. They didn't want to play them because they were going to lose. So – But the fat cat, the cowboy wearing boot stomping A&M Aggie fans love him. And what he did yesterday, he got very personal. I talked to somebody who had tried to talk Jimbo off the ledge the night before, and he was not going to be talked off the ledge. That stuff's been building in him for a long time. And
did he make a mistake? Did he make a mistake in saying he doesn't cheat and he doesn't lie? Because I get very nervous for people when they actually tell the world how saintly they are.
Well, I don't think you should be so unkind. I mean, after all, this is the guy who started Jameis Winston at quarterback at Tallahassee, and you can finish the rest of the story if you'd like. But I think what he's trying to say is we're not cheating now. We're going by the book. But, yeah, he said so many things. But, yeah, he called a press conference to call Nick Saban a narcissist.
And that was him, Paul. That was him 12 hours later after people tried to calm him down. I can't imagine what he was like initially when he found out about this.
No, I mean, that's who he is, though. It doesn't mean he's not a good coach, but he's always been a scrapper. I think he probably lost if you were polling this yesterday, he didn't win because frankly, it's hard to beat Saban in anything. I mean, I get accused all the time of being the biggest Saban homer in the world, but I frankly think compared to everyone else, I at least talk objectively occasionally about Saban. Most people are just, lock stock, behind Saban, no matter what he does. I thought Saban made a terrible mistake Wednesday night. I thought he walked out of the battle yesterday bloody. That doesn't mean he lost, but when one of your former assistants, who's as well known as Jimbo Fisher, basically calls you a charlatan, he calls you a fraud, he says you're a narcissist. He said Bobby Bowden was who I learned from. Nick Saban's what I learned not to be like. I mean, that's a major takedown. And guys, yeah, I've covered this sport for 40 years. I've never, ever heard anything like it.
All right, so one of the things that this sort of plays the okey-doke, we talk about it a lot in the show. Look at my left hand. Please don't look at my right. There's stuff going on in my right hand I don't want you to see. So you pull an okey-doke. The thing about college football that's still amazing is there's still only 6, 7, 8 schools that could dream of winning this national championship. I don't know if NIL was supposed to help that, but it looks like the The chasm could be every bit as big, if not bigger now. Their biggest problem still hasn't been addressed. How do we actually get more people to care about more teams? And how do Nick talking about parity last week was hilarious because he knows that it's not even possible at this point. But isn't college football's biggest problem that we have so few teams that can actually win, and none of this seems to be leaning towards settling that and open up the game for more people?
Yes, you're correct. And the brains that run college football earlier this year voted against expanding the playoff. Now, you can argue that it wouldn't matter, but at least it would make it entertaining for a few weeks. I mean, I still watch the first wild card game in the NFL, as you guys do, and so do about 30 or 40 other million people. And I mean, it's a sport that's terribly operated, and ultimately what Nick Saban was trying to accomplish the other night was get the attention of the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference, who he needs to go to bat for him. And I think that's where the real frustration is, because Greg Sankey is very influential in the field. And, you know, Congress, though, is probably not going to bail them out. And, you know, there are a few other things going on right now in the world. I hate to break that to my friends in college football, that the halls of Congress have, you know, major issues about the future of the world. But this is going to go on for a while. There'll be some nuances to it, but it's only going to get worse. And you're eventually going to have players who are not only going to demand the fact that they get money, they're going to start going to the conferences and to the schools and say, "You guys are making billions of dollars off ESPN and CBS and AB and Fox and everyone else. We want that money too." It's coming.
Well, years ago, when the new CBS agreement came for the NCAA basketball tournament, I said, you know, the thing they should fear the most is the pile of money is too big, because I can see a big pile of money if I'm a player. And eventually they're going to say, we're not playing. You know, I'm a little bit surprised it hasn't happened yet, where call it a strike or call it a work stoppage, call it something. But the pile of money is so big, you're making it way too easy for them. And we document how much all of these contracts from the TV networks are. I'm a little bit surprised the players haven't, quote-unquote, unionized before this to make what you're talking about happen.
Yeah, there's still a lot of issues there. We saw some of that during COVID where the players tried to organize, especially up in the Big Ten. But it will take a dynamic leader. But you're right. And that's more of a concern. But this is just one of these inflection points and moments that has been building for a very long time. And as critical as we all have been over the NCAA and Mark Emmert, I mean, it's not all his fault. I mean, the guys that run these conferences, the men and women who are commissioners, and by the way, the presidents, they're to blame. They have a front row seat at all this, but they're too busy.
Well, what do you think of Bjork over at AA? That guy couldn't find a camera fast enough.
Well, That let me say something about him. I mean, that's not unusual. He was defending Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss a couple of years ago until he realized that Hugh Freeze was about to get fired, and then he suddenly turned on him. So that's unusual, but with certain people, it's not unprecedented.
So circle May the 31st on your calendar when it all goes down in Destin.
Yeah, I know this sounds like a shameless plug, but we will be there live at 3:00 Eastern to cover it.
Hold on. I'm really asking now. The power of ESPN gets you there. What room will you be in? What room will you not? I'm really asking. Will it be? Do you think there'll be restrictions, or how's that going
to
work?
Well, the coaches have to talk to everybody, right?
They don't have to.
Media days, SEC media days, they do, but this one they don't, right?
Yeah, no, they don't. We will be set up on the beach, and there will be availabilities for the general media. But coaches do not have, I mean, most of the time they do. Most of the coaches are pretty available. It will be a circus-like atmosphere. And you know, it's also worth remembering that, you know, not only did Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban have a long history, they also share the same agent, Jimmy Sexton.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, and is this
Virginia, Jimmy Sexton, same conference. I mean, there's a lot of storylines here. This is like pro wrestling.
Is this where they get their big check, by the way? Is this where every school gets their big $48 million check, whatever the hell it is?
I think it's going to be 52 this year. Normally, you are correct. Sometimes they stagger it because of the tax laws. But normally, this is where the big money comes. And There also has we have not had a SEC spring meeting since 2019. So there's going to be a lot of pent up frustration on the beach.
How do you think Greg Sankey did yesterday?
Predictable. I didn't see. I mean, he issued the perfunctory statement saying they violated the bylaw 10.310. I think he's going to. I think what Sankey says behind the scene is going to be more important. And it's worth reporting here that he talked to these coaches in February. It's, remember, Lane Kiffin joked after the A&M recruiting class whether they were going to have to pay a luxury tax in Texas. And Jimbo Fisher went after him. He called that. He said, that's a clown show. He went crazy. And I'm pretty confident in telling you that Sankey talked to Jimbo and Lane and said, guys, settle down. They had a meeting a few weeks afterwards with all the SEC coaches. So Greg Sankey has some heat on him in this regard because you can't let this spill over. This isn't just a sports radio show. I mean, this was on the network news this morning. I was being interviewed by a guy at the PGA a couple hours ago from Tulsa, and he said, this story has at the PGA Championship. The Saban versus Fisher story has dominated the coffee room, the bar. Everybody is talking about it as opposed to whether Tiger's going to make the cut or not.
And I don't want us to say goodbye without saying I read what you said about the ACC and their irrelevance, and I thought it was so classically good. And even that now goes away. That's like the 19th paragraph of what's going on in college football. I thought rightfully took ready, fire, aim at the ACC and what they're not very good at.
Well, I'm not allowed to say anything more about that. I've been reprimanded for my comments. So, you're not supposed to tell the truth about the ACC anymore. But what I did say for those who missed it is that they're in big trouble. They have become a diminished product. And with the new contract heading toward the Big Ten, it would be another one of these billion-dollar deals. The ACC is going to be so far out of the mainstream that there will essentially be two conferences competing every year in college football, and that's the Big Ten and the SEC.
Now the cold, hard, ugly truth from Paul Feinbaum. Looking forward to the 31st of May. You guys will be out there, and hopefully we could talk about it, that experience when all is said and done. Paul, always a pleasure having you on the show.
Pleasure was mine. See you soon, guys. Thanks.
All right, Paul Feinbaum with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.